Episode 8, The Law and the Prophets.
Do you remember the two big promises the Lord made to Abraham? First, God had said, "I will make you into a great nation." God kept his word. Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons, whose families became the 12 tribes of Israel. God also said, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God would keep that part of his promise too. By working with this special and often rebellious nation, God wanted to show all people on earth what he is like and how sinners can come to him. Whenever God protected this nation, he was protecting his plans to bless you and me. For it was from this nation that the prophets, the Holy Scriptures, and the promised Savior would come. God's secret plan was moving forward. Around 1500 BC, God called Moses, a descendant of Abraham, to be his prophet. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. God also used Moses to lead Abraham's 3 million descendants away from 4 centuries of slavery. God himself guided them through the hostile desert with a pillar of cloud to provide shade during the day and with a pillar of fire to provide light at night. By his mighty arm, he opened a path of escape for them in the Red Sea, gave them bread from heaven and water from a rock, and brought them to Mount Sinai. There, at the base of the mountain, God told the people, "You will be for me a kingdom and a holy nation." God wanted this nation to be holy, set apart for him, and distinct from the nations around them. But the people did not understand what it meant to be holy. They did not see themselves as helpless sinners. They thought they could somehow earn God's favor. To teach them a lesson about his burning anger against sin, the Lord came down in an earth-shaking display of blazing fire and blasting trumpet. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. God had given Adam one rule. He was about to give this new nation 10. Most of the people in the nation thought they were good enough to be God's people. So the Lord gave them 10 commandments, first in a thundering voice from Mount Sinai, then on 2 stone tablets. Let's read the 10 commandments. Number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Number 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol, for I am the Lord your God. Number 3, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Number 4, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Number 5, honor your father and your mother. Number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, you shall not steal. Number 9, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor. God told Moses that they must obey all 10 rules perfectly. Cursed is the man who does not uphold the words of this law. How do you think the people felt after they heard these Ten Commands? Do you think they still thought they were good enough? How about you? Do you think you are good enough to live in God's perfect kingdom? Read again rule number one. You shall have no other gods before me. Do you always put God first? If not, you have failed to keep this law. Read number five. Honor your father and your mother. If you have ever disobeyed your father or mother, you are guilty before God. Now look at rule 8. You shall not steal. If you have ever taken something that is not yours or cheated on an exam, you have broken this law. Have you ever told a lie? Then you have not obeyed rule number 9. The last commandment tells us it is wrong even to want to have what belongs to someone else. God sees the sin in our hearts. How many sins did it take to ruin Adam and Eve's relationship with God? Just one. God's perfect standard has not changed. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. God is holy and cannot ignore sin. How would you like to share a room with the rotting body of a dead pig? That is what our sin is like to God. Just as spraying perfume on the stinking body would not cleanse the room, so no amount of religious efforts can cleanse our hearts. Like a mirror that shows me the dirt on my face, God's law shows me the sin in my heart. Just as the mirror cannot clean my face, so the Ten Commandments cannot cleanse my heart. No one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. No matter how good we think we are not good enough to live with God in heaven. We need a Savior. The Ten Commandments gave the new nation a clear standard of right and wrong. That was a good thing. But God's law also brought bad news. It showed the people that they were in big trouble. Because of their sins, they must all die and be separated from God. The good news was that the Lord would still accept the shed blood of lambs, bulls, goats, and doves to cover their sins. And so on the same day that God thundered out His Ten Commandments, God told Moses, "Make an altar and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings." Do you see Moses with his hand on the lamb's head? Do you see people reaching out their hands towards the lamb? Because they believe God and His way of forgiveness, their sins are being put on the innocent lamb. The lamb would then be killed on the altar. The shed blood would cover the sins of the people. Next, the animal's body would be burned to ashes. The ashes would show the people what God had done with their sins. They were forgiven. But this system of offering animal blood for the forgiveness of sins was only a picture of what God really required. The sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But just the opposite happened. Those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Animals were not created in God's image. The value of a lamb is not equal to the value of a man. Just as you cannot take a toy car to a car dealer and offer it as payment for a real car, so the blood of a lamb could not pay the high price required by the law of sin and death. A better sacrifice was needed. While animal sacrifices could not take away the sin debt of the world, they gave sinners a picture of the one who could. As the time for the Savior's arrival got closer and closer, the Lord told his prophets to write many more prophecies about this Messiah King. Here are a few of those ancient promises. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. But you, Bethlehem, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Your God will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. They have pierced my hands and my feet. The promised Savior was coming. But when? And who would he be? How would these prophecies be fulfilled?